Hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown and laurel. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown and Lord of all. Let every tongue and every tribe respond to his call. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Tag Your Podcast. I'm Ray Ray.
And I'm Dave.
Yes, and we're here again on another awesome Monday night. I'm just going to turn us up just a little bit more, and we're good. But thank you guys for coming in again with us. I don't know if this is going to be the last show of the year, but probably not.
Most likely not. But we're working really hard to get some things set up, and that will be a good deal.
Yeah, so like I had already announced, we can say that all we want. If we want to take a break, we're not going to allow ourselves a break, no matter what. But again, we got Darren Smith on here. He's always the first one on. So Darren Smith, 2020 president, right? That'd be awesome. Anyway, move over Durbin and White. See, I beat you, Darren. That's great. I beat you this week. So, but awesome. But yeah, thanks for, again, always being a part with us. Tonight is going to be fun. So,
that's right. We're doing phones.
You're the only one here.
Talk to us.
Share it.
There are other people watching too. Yeah. I can already see.
You're getting it? Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. So we're going to do open phones this evening. So what's the number, Dave?
The number is 785-341-9260, and we would love for you to call in.
Yeah, so we'll get Dave to throw that in the comments.
Talk about a hot topic issue first.
Yeah, so what's going to happen? So while everybody's still, you know, we're going to take some time to get to that point, but we got an issue to talk about, and then we'll say, hey, call in. Still, if you guys are watching live, you can put what you want to talk about in the comments. We'll get to it between phone and all that stuff. We'll try to hit as much as we can. But yeah, so we wanted to just do a little bit more discussion tonight, and then we've got another issue to talk about in the interim between calls or comments to talk about things. But anyway, I don't think there's really much housekeeping.
Say a prayer that next week's show works. We've got some really serious stuff that we're dealing with that we want to work forward, and then we have a big announcement hopefully at the end of the year or at the start of next year. Last week we had a big thing happen, but we can't officially announce it yet, but it is cool stuff. Big directional move for us as a program, and we're excited about that. And prayerfully, you can even pray that it'll go well.
So, just a general prayer. Thank you. We know that you pray. God provides and hears us. We pray for you guys as well. But we're still kicking another week later, with some more issues. Sadly, the material writes itself. We live in a broken world, and so that's what this podcast is about.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been on social media at all in the last few days, you've seen this topic. In fact, it was not that hard to really know that we needed to deal with it, because if you've been on any group, you've seen some post about Lauren Daigle. That's how I say her name, unless I'm wrong in saying
Daigle.
There you go, Daigle. This has been a big deal. What we've seen happen a lot, what at least Adam and I have discussed, is a lot of people are just going right after her, criticizing her for her statements. Essentially, the headlines are often her being quoted as saying, "I can't say whether homosexuality is wrong." So that's been the comment, and a lot of people have critiqued her for that. Here's why this is a really important Springfield and Missouri-related issue. In 10 days, that's 10 days from the 3rd of December. On the 13th of December, she'll be here at JQH playing a Christmas show.
Yeah.
There are people, possibly from your churches, if you're watching this in the Springfield area, that are probably going to go to that concert. If you're like me, you have been captivated by this individual's music. I believe that there is, and Adam and I have talked about this, there is a formula for Christian recording artists.
There should
find
be.
A
should
yeah. This should is not be. This is not a scriptural formula. This is the formula that we see.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, find an attractive young lady or gentleman. Number two, give them some really good supporting cast concerning people who can play music really well and write really good lyrics. And then number three, they're going to say something stupid, and as soon as they do, they'll say, well, I'm not a Christian recording artist anymore, and then it's rinse and repeat. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've noticed. Anyway, Jonathan Hanna, I don't know if you saw that we posted it earlier, Sam, and I'll just let everybody else know if they didn't see our earlier post, but we said that we're going to have Sam Waldron on tonight, and we will end up having Sam Waldron on. He just had to cancel for tonight, but we do have him scheduled for January 7th. Which is the what year, what anniversary is it?
The 330th.
Yeah, 330th anniversary to the day of the
16th. Oh, it is to the day?
Is it?
No, it's not. I don't know that it's to the day. No.
Okay, I'm not going to look at the year. Day anymore. Okay, but that
sorry,
year anyway.
Sorry, I didn't do a very good job.
So, we'll start the year off. That'll probably be, we'll make that one since it's January 7th. We have Christmas and all that stuff coming up. Well, that'll be pretty much our kickoff to the new year, the new season of the Tag Yeart podcast, talking about the 1689 London Baptist Confession, and, you know, really, you know, it's been 300 and some odd years. So anyway, that's why Sam Waldron isn't on tonight. He had to cancel. That's why we've got the new subject material. So back to Lauren Daigle.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's a Christian artist, whatever that means. I'm going to come to you as somebody that is, I love music. Music ended up being my idol, and I had to deal with it head on. So, you know, growing up, if you guys are familiar with Tooth & Nail Records, back in 1997, so I listened to, say, a lot of Slayer, Megadeth, coming out of being like a Southern gospel kid, listening to Cathedral Quartet and all that stuff. So I really loved metal and all that kind of stuff. So I got introduced to like MXPX and a bunch of other people off Tooth & Nail Records. You know, it was a Christian record label is what I was told. You know, I defended these guys, you know, because I had a lot of people, well, they didn't talk about Jesus in this song, but I was like, well, they're 19 years old. You know, they talk about Christian stuff, but then they talk about life too. And, so, you know, it's like back in the day, I guess Beatles were sort of, condemned for talking about I Want to Hold Your Hand. So, I mean, I was dealing with a lot of legalism, so I found myself, you know, defending them. But unfortunately, you know, they MXPX just say, you know, years later, it's been a long time since 93 when they started, they pretty much denounced all Christianity. And it went that way for a long time, but this last record that they came out with, it's definitely just, it's part of their mantra now is, you know, that's not a part of them at all.
It's interesting because here's why it is important for Christians to actually interact with Christian music.
Yeah.
Number one, we have seen in church history one of the first major, I mean, we're talking massive church controversies that caused the first ecumenical council in 325 AD, the Nicene Council, or the Council of Nicaea, was because Arius, who is a great songwriter, wrote all these songs that were supporting Arianism, which was directly opposed to Trinitarianism, Orthodox Trinitarianism. And why did Arianism have such a great following? It was because people were promoting this theology through music. So it is really important that we recognize individuals in the... Boy, I don't know if Ted's talking to me about this or not. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, let's take a phone call if he's calling, if you want.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that he's calling me about this. How about we take... I'm going to take a little break, and I'm going to make sure that I'm okay. Maybe he wants to talk on the show. I'm going to double check.
Okay, yeah, just go check out on him.
All right.
So anyway, but yeah, I'll continue with everything. So anyway, that we're talking about Christian music and all this kind of stuff. My big preface from my... it's my experience, but it's my... experience wrestling with scripture, wrestling in my life with finding the will of God and understanding what that even means. So whenever we look at these Christian artists, you know, why is this starting a big controversy? How does this deal with my testimony of idol worship and music as a musician? And basically, you know, let's just say, you know, I've always been in church. I've always loved Jesus, played music. I've always been in worship teams and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, at the same time, I was always in bands, you know, I'm still in a band today. I took a break, but I'm in another band, punk rock band or whatever. the big gist of it all is whenever I was younger, you know, I always wanted to be in a band, a Christian band, say that, and then be able to use that as my ministry to reach people. And then on the other side of the idol crumbling and me taking a break from music because I really needed to, just seeing that is actually not the design. Really, it can't happen. Discipleship can't happen. We can rile people up. We can get them going. We can deliver certain truths inside songs, and I totally get it. But at the same time, we got to realize that there's a reason for the church. There's a reason for pastors and teachers and all that kind of stuff. That's what builds up the church. We are to sing to each other in songs and hymns and all that stuff too. But what's happened is, because I believe that we look at the world and the world likes music and we go, man, we really, really want to utilize this and redeem this for God. Great intentions, but great intentions doesn't always mean truth. And so whenever we, you know, we look at these recording artists and we see that they want to do ministry and stuff, we do lift them up on a pedestal, and then now you get controversy because they're not ministers. Because we've lost that distinction of what the church is, and you know, we try to do things that are not necessarily scriptural. This is why I'm a big proponent of the regular principle.
Sorry that I had to jump out, man. No, I apologize.
That's fine. But yeah, so I was just basically I was just trying to
be a problem.
Yeah, given my testimony
to check on a few things, and I've got those taken care of. I apologize. One little problem with having a non-phone line that is supported by a great person in the back who is screening calls is that sometimes you have to screen calls on your own.
Yeah.
So anyway. I am glad to say that the world is not burning down, and I can likewise note that was a phone call that has to do with an issue that we will have to deal with. I will not be able to deal with it. I will not be able to speak on it. It's something that does impact Missouri Baptist greatly. And I want to make sure that it's really known. There has been a very serious thing that has happened in Missouri Baptist life that involves a institution that is funded by the Missouri Baptist Convention. This is an issue that I am not able to speak to. But Adam will speak to it, and we are doing our research on this the best we can. We're trying to understand things the best we can. So with that said, I am letting that kind of go there because I don't want to get myself in any type of trouble. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Alrighty. So yeah, let's get back to there's just so much going on. Anyway,
sorry about that, brother. All right, back to Lauren Daigle.
So anyway, so we had this controversy because, you know, Lauren Daigle really, so in her defense, and I see in her defense that I can say she's put on a pedestal that she doesn't belong on, and that's why there is one side of the controversy saying because of what she said, they're attacking her for what she said. In a wrong way. You know, the thing is we shouldn't be surprised because we have grasped something. Again, I'm a big proponent of the regulative principle.
Yeah.
And record labels are not ministries.
That's right.
Whenever we take that into consideration.
And while he had a lot of issues, I will say, when you deal with... oh gosh, now I can't even think of his name. The recording artist who had died young and had the played the hammered dulcimer, Ragamuffin.
Are you talking about not Phil K?
Phil
the other guy, not fake Phil K. Rich Mullins.
Rich Mullins. I usually 90% of the time I grab, except when we're talking on the podcast like this, then I can't grab Rich Mullins. I mean, he was 100% right when he'd say, "You come to my concerts and you act like this is the most important thing in worship. This isn't. You need to be going to church."
Exactly.
There's a difference between Christian music, worship music, and of course, worshiping through music with folks in your church.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, like I know Mars Hill had a debacle, but there's a lot of bands that came out of Mars Hill and the lyrics were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some bad stuff that, because we're all human, there's always going to be some element of something coming out in the future that's not quite right. And, you know, we've seen that through Dustin Kinshu, and that could be a whole other topic if we ever wanted to talk about that. But that's long over anyway. But so, but we're here. So basically that was a long introduction.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I did not mean to. Yeah, so, at all created issue for you on this.
Sorry. But anyway, Lauren Daigle. So if anybody does not know, Lauren Daigle, again, is this really rising star Christian artist. She's written a few songs that have, I don't know if, like, I personally probably wouldn't use these in my worship, my vertical worship in church. But, you know, people love these songs. It's on Christian radio stations and all that kind of stuff. And I'm probably people at home sing these songs because they're being edified by them. If the words are fine, you know, I'm not going to say anything about that. But anyway,
let me jump in real quick on this. Yeah, go for it. One reason it's important that we actually interact with this is because there's people in your church. If you are not even a pastor, you're just a lay member of the church, or a lay leader in the church, there are people in your church that are going to be impacted and influenced by this lady. And some of the things she says in this interview are exceptionally important. In fact, she gets an interview with a publicist. Again, this gentleman's name, or it's called the Dominic Natty Show. And he is a 12-year publicist. And he basically asked her about coming on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. And that's kind of where we pick it up. Is that correct?
Yeah, just the very start. Yeah, yeah. So let me get back here.
We are going to play it at 1.25 speed, or
what, sure, why not?
What options do we have 1.5 speed?
We have 1.25.
Ooh, better give us some 1.5 speed.
1.5. Let's see how slow he talks.
Lauren Daigle is on the phone with us today. Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm doing so good. Thank you for having me, Dominic.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I've been listening to your music for a while. I used to go to Bethel Church, and now you're so big. So I know that you had some kind of surprising criticism.
So just stop right there. Just want to make sure this is really, really well, this is important. The individual who has her on, Dominic Natty, is a member, or says, I used to go to Bethel Church.
Yeah.
We've talked about Bethel Church in the past. Specifically, Tim Carter has addressed the theological issues that have gone on and the problems of Bethel Church. So what we need to understand is, here's a gentleman that Lauren Daigle has an opportunity to speak truth into his life. Praise God she had an opportunity to go on to the that she had an opportunity to go and visit a secular show, and that's essentially what she's being talked about is the Ellen DeGeneres Show and her opportunity to go and speak there. Praise God that she had that opportunity. Now she has another opportunity. She has an opportunity to speak truth into the life of a person who was a Christian mystic, essentially. And so, sorry, I just wanted to make sure that we made that clear.
When you went on Ellen, you know, you got criticism for going on the show for someone that's openly gay. How did you deal with that? And was that really devastating or disappointing, or was it just something that, you know, you weren't too surprised about?
I think it's funny because I told my manager, this is the first time in my career that I'm genuinely getting criticized.
Sure.
I think a lot of times, like with, you know, the career in its previous years was, there's this constant embrace, this constant, we support you, we support you. But the second you step outside of what people want for you, what people want you to do, the second you start, you know, doing what you feel like you're supposed to do, if it doesn't fall in line with what they want, that's when the criticism comes. So it's kind of, it's an interesting place to be, I'll say. But one thing I've learned from
she's noting that she's getting criticized because she went on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Yeah.
Shame on anyone who would criticize
her. So this is the first thing. So, I mean, there is, because what's coming up, there's probably a good reason for her not to go on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, in a way, if she's going to speak past her performance. But on the other hand is, what's wrong with taking an opportunity, going, so this is this is not church category. Now this is personal evangelism category.
That's right.
So there's different categories that we see in scripture of how the word goes out. And so if you were given, and if I were given, you know, if I was in a Christian band with solid theological lyrics and I had the opportunity for one, any band that I would ever be in, probably not going to be asked. That's the thing about, this is why I don't really like Christian music. At least the top 40 adult contemporary Christian music. It's because it's vague enough to where it looks like, you know, whenever you listen to it, guess what? this show is about presuppositions. Whenever you listen to this vague stuff, you fill in the gaps.
That's right.
If you're in the scriptures, you know what they're talking about. Unfortunately, if you're going to write music and it's going to be vague and you're going to use it as a ministry, but it's going to be vague, they're going to have presuppositions and be like, oh, this is totally fine. If it's going to be distinctively Christian, it should not be fine to the unbeliever.
That's right. It should actually be offensive to the unbeliever.
I would probably not be asked to go on the Elegant Edition or so. But just to say, if I had the opportunity, if I was in a band and I had solid theological language in my music and I was asked to be on the Ellen DeGeneres show, there is no problem. Because what is that? If I got to play a song on a syndicated show with national appeal, that would be stinking awesome to be able to go on there and sing my song about Jesus Christ being Savior and King and being the revealer of the God who created us and has shown mercy to sinners. That would be stinking awesome. So there is nothing wrong with her going on an Ellen DeGeneres. So if you're on the side of, if you know the situation and if you found yourself on the side of going, why did she even go on there? It's one of those things to go, why not?
Like, one thing again, yeah. I think that's important that you state. It is interesting that contemporary Christian music is acceptable to people who are lost. Now, someone will say, Dave, that's so hard of you to say. No, if they really listen to the lyrics of the gospel is offensive, incredibly
remember,
offensive.
Remember, the gospel, awesome, but remember, the gospel is only the gospel if you are a dead in your sin sinner. So that's why it's offensive. That's why these words be like, you know, why does God have mercy? Why does he have grace? What is grace? It's undeserved favor. Why does he have to have undeserved favor on us?
So again, I want you to compare this idea, because today was also a big day because John MacArthur visited
Ben Shapiro.
That's awesome. Right? If you compare the different things that happen here, you've got a really interesting comparison. Right? Here you have a lady that's being wishy-washy, and you're going to hear it in this interview, wishy-washy on what the Bible says, wishy-washy even on who Jesus is, because guess what? If you cannot understand morality because of God's authoritative word, then you can't even understand who Jesus is, because guess what? There's not clarity. You say, oh, Dave, that's so mean. Jesus spoke about the morality of the law. Jesus spoke about the character of God. How do we know what is right and what is wrong? Because God has told us. His word has revealed it.
Yeah.
His word has clearly revealed what sin is and what suppressing the truth is. Therefore, when she gets on here and states, well, I don't really know, she's said, then I don't really know God.
We'll continue.
You can't expect people to understand the decisions that you make if they're not in the position to make those decisions. So I have to look at the Instagram comments and the Facebook comments and all that and kind of put them aside, not in the I don't care about these people sense, but in the sense of they're not in a position to make these kind of decisions. Why would I ever expect them to understand?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Go for it.
I was just going to say, you know, that depends on who it is. Say if it's your pastor and he recognizes something in you that, okay, if you're going to say, I'm going to do ministry and, you know, it's, we should always do stuff in the context of the church. And really, you know, it's like, hey, I feel this calling to do this. This is what I want my ministry to be. You should seek counsel of your elders. You should seek counsel of other people in the church and be like, you know, I just want to make sure that what I'm doing is going to be making disciples. I have blind spots. I know I have blind spots. Have you seen anything in me that I'm not ready for? And seek that kind of counsel. So there should be people in your life that you should accept criticism from.
That's right.
Because the point is to be a disciple maker, to be the Great Commission person, especially if you're going to use this as a ministry to do that. So there should be people in your life that can tell you to not do it.
That's right.
But again, this is surrounding the Ellen DeGeneres show appearance. And so, you know, again, like, yeah, she's writing some people off, like, yeah, they're just, they could be legalist, whatever. But, you know, it's one of those things that even if I would write it off, I would still hear it and go, I know what, I do have blind spots, and I still need to, even if I don't think that they're right, just make sure. You know, just make sure, because that drives me to dependence on God and His Word.
That's right.
So I'm just not making the decision myself. But we hear a whole lot of me, me, me talk already in here.
This position, this placement, this sphere. It's like an unrealistic expectation on a people group that they're completely disassociated. And so for me, it was really sad that their outlook would be, oh, because Ellen's gay, she's bad. That's sad. It's so sad.
I think that oversimplifies people's concerns.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really important. Is it concerning that you go, should it strike someone, you're going to go and interact with this gay person? Mm-hmm. And praise God.
Okay.
If you're going to call out sin.
Yeah, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the opportunity?
Praise God if you're going to preach about the truth of the gospel or speak truth into their life. She's being very generalized. And that's the thing that I think is, you have this happen in the, again, cultural Christianity of America. There's an overgeneralization about what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong. There are probably people like you and I who say, you know what, if you are going to go there, make sure you present the gospel and present it in truth and in love. Mm-hmm. And you tell that woman, you know what, I'm grateful that you have a desire to have me come on your show. But ma'am, I don't think you understand what I live for.
Yeah.
I live because Christ redeems those who are in sin. And unless you confess your sin and repent and believe, this is not good news for you.
Yeah.
What I am saying is bad news for you. Mm-hmm. And you need to recognize that.
Yeah. Because I mean, that, like I said, if I were asked to go on the show, I'd be like, did you listen to my song? Do you understand?
Do you really know who?
Yeah. You know, and I'd just be like, Ellen, like, seem like a cool person. You've got a great opportunity. Because I, you know, it's one of those things that I'm a believer and you're not, but I still believe that God, like, this is the thing. I still believe that God blesses people through heathens.
Yeah,
God accomplishes his work through anybody.
That's right.
Let God be true, though every man a liar.
That's right.
Is what I believe.
Yeah.
But see how much opportunity now, after saying something like that to Ellen, she'd be like, okay, never mind. But hey, I would have the opportunity. And so were these kind of opportunities taken? You know, I'm going to say no, and it's a shame. It's more sad than me being mad. It's just like, you know, there's an opportunity here and it wasn't taken.
Yeah.
Hopefully there will be something learned to then, you know, because we learn from mistakes and go in, but yeah.
Sorry again, I had to jump out earlier. I apologize about that.
We're good. We're good.
It's what people don't realize is I went to Ellen and she is just a bundle of light. She's so joyful. She was so kind.
A bundle of light.
She's a bundle of light. Okay. I mean, the thing is, we need to realize people are only good because of the common grace of God. So we can't, you know, I'm not going to go like Ellen is this horrible, 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 horrible person. We all are. But there's no difference other than the Holy Spirit living within me. But what she's doing here and what you're going to hear, she's going to prop up Ellen as this person that you can get advice from and you listen to her. And then you act out of listening to Ellen.
That's right.
Again, this is where we get into standards.
And I do think it's important. I like that we're able to listen to this nice section. I think this is the whole interview. Like,
yeah,
that's cool that we can do that. And I encourage people, rather than just jump out and criticize this lady, go and listen to the whole interview.
Yeah. And this, the one thing is anybody that's complaining about this, make sure, because if you're going to hold her to biblical standards, you have to hold yourself to biblical standards. Be slow to speak.
That's right.
So take your time. Don't jump on the Facebook bandwagon and just jump on time.
I'm not sure.
You know, yeah. Because that's what people do all the time. I can't believe it. It's like, wait a second. Take into consideration, you don't know everything.
Right.
And you don't know all the variables that got into this opportunity and all that kind of stuff. So sit back, relax, listen, pray, and then do, you know, instead of just going on the attack mode.
That in our sound check. And at the end of the sound check, comes up to me and was like, hey, I want you to stay focused. Like, you remember this is a marathon, not a sprint. Do not burn yourself out. You have what it takes to be like a history maker in this world. Like, don't burn out. Stay focused and only do what you love. Don't do the things that make you exhausted in a roundabout way. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, she actually took time.
Only do what you love.
Yeah, that's not.
That's the kind of advice you can expect to get from someone who doesn't know Christ. Only do what you love, not only do what God glorifies God. Here's this great opportunity for her to say, and thank you for the opportunity to invite me on. Thank you for that great advice. But let me tell you something. only doing what I love is not the most important thing.
Yeah.
Doing what God calls good is the most important thing.
Or you're going, I'll do what I love, and I love Jesus Christ, and that means this. I mean, there's tons of opportunities, and I know, guys, it sounds like the world is made talking like that cheesy for a reason. It's because they don't want to hear it. And so then they make fun of it, and then you feel like, oh, that's cheesy, and no, take it, take your opportunities. It's really good to do that.
Even if it was 3 minutes, it was a moment, you know? And so it's kind of sad to see people criticize her whenever she was actually, she's just a beautiful person.
Yeah. But people don't.
Which, beautiful, again, demands a standard. And so Ellen can do all these nice things, and I wonder how much Ellen would do if she didn't have a TV network backing her up. If she didn't have that backing her up, would you see Ellen handing out stuff, the amount of stuff to people in need that she does on the show? The show is a show. It's a show. And it's designed to grab you, the viewer.
Yes.
And so Ellen is not doing this of her own accord. So you can't put everything that happens on the Ellen show on Ellen. She is not the one that has the money, and she's not the one writing it. She might be a part of it, but she's not writing it. And the only way that she has this opportunity is because of a TV network that gets advertisement that is piped into your home to grab you to watch it, because they need you to watch it to make the money. So, you know, we got to take this sort of into consideration whenever we think about Ellen. Now, she can be the coolest person that you'd ever, you might have a fun, I'd have a fun day with her, I'm sure, if we ever hung out and stuff like that. But we have to realize that, you know, she is living in sin and she needs the gospel. We don't, you know, if you're going to criticize her and say, well, there's no room, like God cannot save a person like that, then you're wrong too. And you need the gospel in your life. So, you know, she's trying to defend Ellen, and, you know, Ellen does really nice stuff. She's able to do that. But it's, again, it's not just her, for one. You got to be smarter and not naive. And then, you know, we've got to take into consideration, you know, she is not living a beautiful life.
No.
And that's the sad thing. And so we're going to then prop this up to delude the fact that Lauren could have spoke the gospel into Ellen's life that day.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's the most important to me is, and the thing that is the most discouraging. The criticism against Lauren Daigle, for me, doesn't have as much to do with her lack of fortitude to call out homosexuality. Because actually, that's what I think it is. It has everything to do with her failing to present the gospel given the platform that she had. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. You're saying, I don't know if you know about this. I'm a celebrity publicist, and I have been for 12 years, and I've also been a Christian for, 18? So it's like, people they don't know what they're talking about, and they're critical, and they got like...
He just told us that he was a Christian for 18 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, just keep that in mind as he...
Bethel Church, Christian for 18 years.
Interesting.
Strict standards. Well, then, Ellen, is something that your career really needs. You know, I mean, you've gone mainstream. And
does her career really need Ellen?
According to the world standards.
Yeah, but, like, does it really need Ellen?
No.
That depends on what's your ultimate end. Is your ultimate end to glorify God? Or is your ultimate end to be known yourself?
And be famous. He's a publicist.
Jesus' fame? Or your fame.
He's not worried about that.
You should have warrior preached the gospel. Sorry. Die and be forgotten shirt tonight.
Sorry.
Yeah. Five soldiers. Still fun. but that's the thing is, now he's pumping into her the world's message.
Yes, exactly.
You are just doing what it takes to be successful.
Yeah, by whose mean standard? Again, the criticism is misplaced. The criticism should be from Christians. The criticism should be, you know what? It's a shame that lady got that platform and didn't preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that lady didn't say, and Christ is king. Mm-hmm. Those of you who don't know that, those of you who haven't repented, repent of your sins, go to God's word, trust him. Mm-hmm. That's not the criticism that we have.
Yeah.
That's because standards are backwards. Mm-hmm. And we're many, many, what I would again say, popular Christian culture is, ridicule about the homosexual thing. Mm-hmm. Wrong. Mm-hmm. Repent for doing that.
Yeah, repent for doing that and then go, like, she didn't preach the gospel. I mean, that's always going to be probably what comes out of David and I's mouths.
I'm more offended by the fact that she didn't go to Ellen's show and say, Jesus Christ is King, he lives, and he would love for you to repent and trust on him as your as the atoning sacrifice before a righteous and just God who you are suppressing. Mm-hmm. I'm more offended that she didn't say that than anything else.
Yeah.
And Christians should say, we're ticked that she didn't promote Christ as King. Yeah. Oh, she sang about it in her song. Did she really?
It's disappointing. And again, it's to me, it's a feeling of disappointment that we have someone here, again, that's propped up, again, on Christian music stations. She's going to come into town. She's going into other towns. People are going to her show to worship God, apparently.
Yeah.
I think that's what this whole thing is about. It's a worshipful time. But if the gospel isn't talked about, well, is it in the words? Well, maybe to you, your presuppositions, listening to her music, you might be hearing it, but is it blatant enough? Is it clear enough that even the person without the same presuppositions, when they come to her lyrics, are they going to have to overcome their presuppositions and go, no, that does talk about the gospel and I hate it. Or, oh, it talks about the gospel and I'm not really keen on it, but at least I heard the gospel. You know, is it going to demand, like, the gospel needs to be heard, even in these lyrics, if they're going to be called Christian, because if it's not distinctively Christian, then it's not Christian. Christian is distinct.
Yes.
And so, you know, why are we labeling things Christian? I mean, then we don't care about categories. Language has lost all meaning, and then we can just go home. You know, that's the thing, is things have meaning. And Christians are about truth and meaning. And if we're not going to act like we are into truth and meaning, then go home. You know, repent or just go home and enjoy what, you know, 60 more years you got of your life.
You got a huge person reaching out, and you would be really foolish to turn that down and be like, no, you're gay.
You would be foolish to turn Ellen down. That's the thing is if there was a, again, if, Why is it so foolish? It's only foolish because it's seeking success in the world standards. She's getting this pumped into her. This is the industry. It's all about you and your success.
Not what can you do to impact the kingdom? Here's a guy that is claiming Christ. I've been a Christian for 18 years. But notice how the discussion isn't about, and why didn't you use this opportunity to promote what should be the most important thing, the chief end of man. Mm-hmm. To glorify God
and enjoy there him
you
forever.
End your career.
Yeah, like, you know, if I was your publicist, I'd probably just quit if you did that. You know, but it's just like, what are you thinking? But it's a great way to put it. Like, people don't know because they're not there, and they're talking out of their ass, and they think they know what they're saying, and they don't know. You know, and that kind of brings me to my next question is, you know, I put this video on of Dan Johnson from Bethel on YouTube, right? And it wound up getting like 1.5 million views. It was a really great thing where she just kind of spontaneously worshiped like she does. And then I got all these comments, thousands of comments, and a lot of them were about that Jen had her arms, her bare arms, was a sleeveless dress that went down to the floor.
Oh my gosh.
And, but everybody had such a hard time with her leading worship and showing her arms, which is really bizarre to me, but apparently it's common, right? And then you do worship. You know,
there's a lot more going on at Bethel that you need to be offended by than bare arms.
That's right.
Amen. We've already talked about that. We won't go into, because that'll take us another forever.
You wear shorter shirts or whatever. And, I mean, do you get criticized for the way you dress while you're worshiping?
Yes, that happens. I might get in trouble for saying this.
So notice that they're worshiping at concerts. That's great. But I hope you don't just go to Christian concerts because, oh, well, hey, I can worship here and that'll be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone once told me if that is something that causes a man or a woman or whatever to stumble, that's not a pure reflection of you, Lauren. That's just something they need to work out. And I was like, it's just kind of crazy that, I mean, I guess if Jen Johnson didn't have pretty arms, it wouldn't be a big deal. Let's really call a spade a spade here. Because that's what it's all about. But she has beautiful arms. And so people are like flustered. It's just ridiculous. But I think it comes from people constantly have this way of placing the blame on the wrong thing or pointing the finger at the wrong thing. Oh, yeah. If they can illuminate something, it creates distraction. But I think Jen's amazing. I love that girl. And go ahead and show your arms all day long because you got good arms to show the world.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about God, let's just talk about his creativity in order to make all of us. Might as well show off some art.
Yeah.
Well, that's a few things there. Go for it.
I'm just saying that's just not a funny joke. You go for it.
No, it's offensive to me in that people, number one, are, here's an opportunity to say from your platform, you know what? I do receive criticism for the way I dress. I want to dress in a way that glorifies God. And my primary focus is not what I wear. It is what I do for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And so when people criticize me for what I wear, I recognize that people are going to criticize folks who share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And this is just another distraction from what I'm really after. But that's not what's said there.
Yeah.
It is celebrate how beautiful you are. That is just a few dials back from the secularist who says, flaunt it, it's yours.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way, that's what's being said there. By someone who's being celebrated in Christian circles. Not because she's sharing the gospel. Because she's not. Mm-hmm. She's missing that opportunity. Who cares? We haven't even got to the most important thing that everyone's going crazy about. Here's the great deal. People are going crazy about this homosexual thing. Why are they not talking about all the opportunities she had to say, you know what? When I got to stage with Ellen, the first thing I said was, thank you for giving me an opportunity to share the gospel with people. Nah. They're not mad about that.
Yeah.
If Jen was my size and had, you know, a tank top on, it would be a problem. I'm about 300 pounds. Yeah. It has everything to do with you and her, like, being attractive. And so that makes another point, too. So now, you know, are you single? Are you dating? Are you married? Like, what is your relationship status right now?
I am single.
You're single?
Yes. Go on, single. I'm married to my career, if that's a thing.
So have you had any celebrity guys reach out to you thus far?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But yet is the big word.
Who is your celebrity crush?
Oh,
it's
God.
Like, why are we even talking about this kind of stuff?
I will say I just saw Star Wars.
Oh, because it pleases the world.
Movie
this is a Cosmo epic, magazine podcast.
I've like never really thought of Bradley Cooper as someone that's attractive, but the way that he played that character was unreal. Like, I was completely moved by that movie. Completely moved by his character.
What's so important that we know about this lady? Who she's dating?
It's not a. When did you realize the gospel? When did you realize who Jesus Christ is?
This guy is about clickbait, and he found his clickbait here in just a minute.
I guess I would say him.
So you like the drunk?
Yeah.
The drunk, strung-out guy that eventually hangs himself. That's what Laura's looking for.
Oh, my gosh.
I hate to do this to you, Laura, but I usually ask some tough questions. So is that all right if I ask you just a couple ones that are tougher?
Okay, here they are. Here are the tough questions.
The tough ones.
If you want to answer them.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about Ellen, do you feel that homosexuality is a sin?
Do you feel? Wait. Yeah. Do you feel? Here is a Christian asking whether you feel. We don't have to ask whether you feel. If you're a Christian, you say, what does God's word teach about homosexuality? And I would say, God's word teaches first and foremost that sin is sin and it separates us from the Father. And that means that we're under God's wrath. And we all need to repent. Don't try to prioritize. Don't fall into the world's trap of saying, well, see, there's one sin that the Christians are really after, and there's one sin that Christians really hate, and that's homosexuality. False. We hate all sin. I hate sin in my own life, and if I don't hate sin in my own life, then I've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm not falling on my knees saying, God, help me. I get angry. God, help me. I get down on myself. Help me, Lord. I struggle with lust. If I'm not hating that sin, deploring that sin in my own life, how dare I make judgment on others? And first of all, he's going right after
the
simple thing.
You know, it's like the cool thing is having the opportunity to be on a podcast. I don't know how many views this show gets, how popular this show is, whatever. But anyway, any opportunity that we get, why isn't nobody going on there from the Christian side? Why is that? Why do you care about that one thing?
That's exactly how she should respond. Why do you care?
Why do you care about that one thing? Like why is that the tough question? The tough question is, does God hate sin and is there a definition of sin that's real?
And if he's a Christian, he should have already known that.
Yeah. But basically, it's just trying to get out of her something for his show.
Controversial.
Get some views. Maybe he needs some views. Maybe he's not that popular yet, but this kind of helps him out.
Well, he has been a publicist for 12 years, so he's got some connections.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting a lot more views than us, but that's fine.
You know what? I can't honestly answer on that in the sense of I have too many people that I love that they are homosexual. I don't know. I actually had a conversation with someone last night about it, and I was like, I can't say one way or the other.
Yeah, and this is sad. Okay. So, a lot of people are attacking that, you know, she's being wishy-washy here. The thing is, I'm going to go and conjecture that she doesn't know the answer.
Ah.
And it's sad. Here's the bad thing.
Yes.
I found out she's in connection and cahoots with North Point Community Church. Not to be confused with the North Point here in Springfield, but North Point Community Church, which is out of Atlanta. And we have talked about Andy Stanley before on the podcast.
Yes.
Which is the pastor of that church.
Who said we need to unhook ourselves from
the Old Testament. And there's a lot of errancy issues.
I want to make sure that I clarify this. You're saying very clearly, you think she actually doesn't know.
The reason
she doesn't know...
There's only two possibilities. She's knowing and then suppressing it for the public. Or she doesn't know. And I mean, I would say that that's a possibility because of the food she's eating.
And what kind of comment is that on what I would say popular Christianity?
Yeah. I know Andy Stanley's not watching the show.
I think she's in the exact same spot as most people.
Yeah, but Andy Stanley doesn't watch our show. And if anybody does have a connection to Andy Stanley, to hand him this right now, just to look in the camera and be like, she is a reflection of you. You feed her. There you go.
That type of, again, in my opinion, that is exactly what that type of low-level Christianity, if that's what you will even call it, leads to. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. That's right. Here's a lady who is being promoted, even in Christian circles. Man, look at this great Christian. Look at this great Christian example. Mm-hmm. And boom, she doesn't even know what God says. I think she's right.
Yeah, and so then you get all the follows. I guess it's okay not to know. And I mean, she ends up, let's just finish the quote.
I'm not God. So when people ask questions like that, that's what my go-to is. Like, I just say, read the Bible and find out for yourself.
Then maybe she hasn't read the Bible.
Yeah.
But she's leading you in worship.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's really horrible. And, you know, this is, again, this is something that came up in my testimony. And I know Brent Ebers is watching. He was my discipler. And this is something that he told me. And just talking about how people just get worship pastors in there. It's a warm body that can sing and play an instrument because that's all you need to do. You don't have to worry about anything else. And people are not hiring or building up leaders in sound doctrine to lead the people to worship. And so if she doesn't know this, but if her mission is to preach the gospel, she needs to know these things. Love you, Brent. Love you. Sorry, had to say that, but yeah, I got a little emotional there because I haven't seen Brent in a while. Anyway, just reflecting back on what I went through. But the thing is, you know, I had to realize in myself, I didn't know the scriptures, and I was leading people in worship.
Who were you worshiping?
And the thing is, I thought I had the best intentions, and I had to come to the fact that I wanted that position. I was the awesome musician. Nobody else played like me. Nobody else had my ideas, and I had to be the one to do it. And that's what's going on here. And so I know the pain. I know how much it sucks, you know, but it was the most freeing thing in my life to then come to Scripture, be discipled, know who God is. And now I can say with full confidence that God hates sin, but he has grace, and to be able to preach the gospel. And then now I can play music and know that it's not what God has called me to for ministry, but I can have fun and enjoy it because it's a gift of God.
So let me bring this to the forefront too. Thank you. That was awesome, Adam, by the way. If you're going to worship and having her lead you, how confident then do you feel that she's leading you in worship?
And then what do the words mean to her? Like, what is her intentions in the songs that she writes? Or is she even writing them? Who's writing them?
See, here's where this demonstrates to me a fundamental problem. Here, Christians have puffed up a woman who does not know God's word well enough to know that God has spoken very clearly.
Yeah.
And she's being pushed onto the stage as the voice of Christianity, and let's go worship with her. And she doesn't even know what God said right here in his word.
Yeah. Does she not know that Jesus said, when asked, you know, he ends up going to basically recounting the creation narrative of man and woman. And there's a purpose and a meaningful purpose behind that. You know, so a lot of people use that argument that Jesus never talked about homosexuality. Yes, he did. It's implied in the fact that he says what God did in the past.
That's right.
And then it's him, God himself and man, reclaiming that. So it's like, if she doesn't know this stuff, she's not going to lead you into worship. She is there for your entertainment.
She's gonna lead you not in worship. All right, we got about a minute left, and then we're going to open up the phones. We'd love for you to comment on this or anything else apologetically. Too. Sorry.
That's fine.
Wow, you're a pro already. Next question is, are you an advocate for the Me Too
movement? She's a pro because she says she's not God, and she doesn't know. No, she's not a pro. She's not a pro at preaching the gospel. She's a pro in answering waffly, dumb answers to a public podcast so that she doesn't offend anybody.
That's right.
And have you ever experienced sexual harassment in your life or career?
I don't think I have. I'm like, honestly, though, this is so bad. I'm from Louisiana, and I come from a family of, like, super strong-willed women. So if it has happened, I would say that it completely went over my head just because I just kind of plow and move on to the next thing. But I don't think I have been directly affected in the workforce by it.
Lauren Daigle, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Boom. Dominic, this is
we are now open at 785-341-9260.
Say it again, 785-341-9260. I messed that up.
That's all right.
Anyway,
if you would like to give us a call, there are a few folks watching. Want to talk about this, want to talk about something else, maybe ask us some questions about what our plan is for the next year, ask us about some potential debates, give us some ideas for some shows. We are open now and ready to go. And if we don't have any calls, we do have a little bit of a plan here that we wanted to touch base on. We're going to talk a little bit about Matthew 18.
Matthew 18. Yes. Does anybody know? Raise your hands. I remember that. Not podcast. Anyway, does anybody know what Matthew 18 talks about? I mean, it's a tough chapter on people that know. Oh, hey, we got a phone call. Never mind.
A call from, hey, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing, man?
Man, I am doing so, so good because we do not have any type of actual anyone who is actually filtering our calls. I have to ask. I only know a few folks in Nebraska, so it's just a guess. I'm guessing this is John Hawkins. Did I get it wrong?
What's that? Sorry, you cut out.
Is it John Hawkins?
It is.
Yes!
Dave,
dude, we
want to
have
you
on the show again the first time, but now here you are. You're calling in and talking with us. Yeah. So, man, thank you.
Yeah, it's on the number. I'm like, this is too good to be true. You've got to be able to call in, man.
Dude, so let me tell you about John Hawkins. When I met him, he was a Mormon.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
praise God.
Not like a straight-laced Mormon.
Yes.
All right. Well, whoever is calling... Oh, Jonathan. Hold on a minute. We've got... Jonathan Hayashi.
We're talking to John Hawkins. So
Jonathan Hayashi, you are next. We'll call you back. But anyway, Hawkins. Mr. Hawkins, what do you got?
Hey, I wanted to just sort of highlight something with what you were talking about with Lauren Daigle and not knowing, and there seems to be some questions in the comments as far as, like, how is that plausible? How can somebody not know? And I just wanted to sort of tie this back to the importance of expository text-driven preaching, because we know that at North Point, Andy Stanley is very topical, if we preach on marriage and the thrust of our sermon is here are 5 points or 5 steps to a better marriage, but we don't get underneath that and look at a theology of marriage, a theology of sexuality, a theology of these things, and we turn the Bible into a self-help book and we abuse God's grace in that way, then it's very plausible that people would be very confused on this topic. Mm-hmm. At the very least, not know how to answer a question like that, because the pulpit drives the church. And if there's not solid expositional preaching, be it topical exposition or like book by book exposition. I think this is, if that's the case, if she really doesn't know, then I find it very plausible, because the preaching would lend itself to that, with not having, being very seeker sensitive, very come as you are, accepted as you are, don't be challenged with God's word, type of attitudes toward preaching and the pulpit.
Man, I think you're right on, Jonathan. And let me do something real quick. We want to have you on talk Mormonism here in 2019.
Please.
We're really excited. I want to hear all about your conversion, because actually, I think this is the first time you and I have talked.
Like on the phone, yeah. Like we've messaged back and forth, but yeah.
Yeah. So last time I saw you, you were a sophomore in high school, and so was I. And then next thing I know, and I can't wait till we get it scheduled for you to come on, next thing I know, you're at Southern Seminary, and I'm like, whoa.
Dang, that's awesome. Well, man. Yeah, seriously. We got to have you on the show.
You host a podcast of your own, and it is called what again?
The Pastor Discussions Podcast.
Pastor Discussions Podcast. All right.
Yes. Well, thank you. Dude, thank you so much calling and dealing with our little, you know, since we are so low key, we don't have a whole lot of opportunities to screen calls. So I got your number now, and so I can save it. And I will send you an email. We'll be laying out our program schedule sometime here within this month of December, and we'll get you scheduled to come on. Can't wait.
Yeah, me too. Love the show, guys. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Bye, so later. You're going to have to call Hayashi real quick.
So I'll call Jonathan Hayashi. I guess that's what I need to do is call him back.
So yeah, amen. If in the meantime, if you want to know what expositional preaching is, here's two awesome things. We got David Helm's book on expositional preaching, and then The 9 Marks of a Healthy Church. Read these so that you know if you're getting fed from the scriptures, because this will help the situation out immensely.
All right, let's see which Jonathan this actually...
Hello?
Hey, Jonathan, this is Dave. How are you?
Doing okay. This is Jonathan Hanna.
Oh, yeah, I know. I apologize. I didn't have your last name in the phone, so I am really glad that you are calling. Let's talk, man. One of our guests this year has been Jonathan Hanna, and he's been like our...
He's been here 2 years in a row, man. He's been on a couple shows. He's
good. You were like I think you were our third guest.
And he's our 12th man, if you're a Seahawks fan, which I'm not.
Yeah.
He's our 12th man, then.
Well, hey, man, what do you have...
So I got to meet James White over this last weekend.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I attended his King James Onlyism and New Testament Reliability seminar. I got to be in 3 out of the 4 sessions, and it was really good stuff on Friday and Saturday this last weekend at Covenant Grace Presbyterian Church in St. Charles. Really good stuff. So.
Yeah, I'm extremely jealous, and I'm really sorry I didn't make it, man. Please forgive me. We just had some other things that came up, and you will be hearing about those things on the program. On the 17th is the plan. I won't be here, but there were some issues. I cannot discuss them because of multiple reasons, but if you want to know why I wasn't here, Adam will fill you all in on that fun stuff on the 17th.
Yes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I just encourage people. I think they recorded it, if I'm not mistaken. And encourage people to watch it, because he covered some new stuff that's been coming out the last decade or so. The coherence-based genealogical method, basically, entering all this manuscript data and let computers doing some of the work as far as some of the variants and stuff. And so it's pretty cool stuff. He's doing some doctoral work at a university in South Africa. It starts with a P. I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Punchapon.
Yeah, that's right. And so he's doing some of that, and he covered a little bit of that, and we had some good interactions with him. And nice guy. I got there. You know, it's an hour drive from where I live, and I had to use the restroom, and I met Dr. White in the restroom.
Fancy meeting you here, Mr. White.
I was like, hi there, Dr. White. I was like, welcome to Missouri. And he was like, well, it's almost like home. I've been here about 17
That is now, so. That is the Missouri welcome. Welcome to the Missouri bathroom. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it was really odd. Yeah. And another thing, too, when I went to the Richard Carrier, William Lane Craig debate back in 2009, it was right before Rebecca and I got married almost a decade ago now. Well, I met Richard Carrier in the bathroom, too. It was so weird.
Sweet.
Oh, man.
That's a story. That's
stuff, but
if it happens three times, that's going to be crazy.
Exactly, yeah. But Richard Carrier, James White is a lot better presenter than Richard Carrier, that's for sure. So, yeah.
And one of the things, you know, Jonathan, we actually haven't had a chance to talk to you about this directly, but one of the things we're looking at as an expansion next year of the podcast is doing some little contributor mini podcast and maybe having people send them in, and you would definitely be one of the people that we would want to reach out to talk about some little, you know, short segments that we would have you put in, because you are, while you're not a Missouri Baptist Apologetics Network member anymore, you are one of the finest apologists that I know, and I'm really thankful for you, because I think you are more fair and more balanced and more knowledgeable than other people. So
yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
But we'll touch base with you on that, because we definitely have some stuff for you next year. And by the way, Travis Herenick said your next book needs to be Missouri Bathroom Apologetics.
Yeah. I know. It's just so weird, you know, because there's like an unwritten code for men in bathrooms. You just don't talk to each other at all. Yeah. You know, it's just like you don't look at each other. You just take care of your business.
Oh, well, that's just a social construct, dude. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's right. So, great show, guys.
Well, thank you, brother. Thank you. So, thanks for praying for us. I know you do. Thank you for all your encouragement over and over again.
Yeah,
man.
God,
we're
bless
just,
you, both of you.
We're blessed by you. So,
bye-bye.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and to comment on that, I mean, just because of what we talked about last week with BibViz.com and their, you know, their scholarship on their website. If you want real scholarship, James White was in over the weekend. I didn't, another year, and I didn't get to be able to go. Maybe I can make it happen next year. But anyway, he did talk about King James onlyism and that debate, and then a lot of textual criticism. He's doing a lot of research on papyri right now. And so, I mean, he's getting into the real deal stuff. And so he's explaining the real deal stuff. So if you want real biblical scholarship, talk to a man that has actually beheld papyri. So I just actually saw James White tweeting some stuff on Twitter. If you don't follow him, he's Dr. Oakley 1689. I think he's just tweeted maybe some links or something about, he's got a YouTube on King James onlyism right now that he just tweeted on Twitter. So if you're on there, you can follow him on there and get to that stuff. So just to, you know, just to kind of relate what our resource is with other resources out there, with guys that are doing some monster work, you know, stuff that I will never probably even touch in my life. I wish, so much going on. But anyway, it's being done. And James White is a fair and balanced guy when it comes to this stuff. So check him out.
And there's one thing I want to say. You know, here we are in a nice little segment. We've kind of dropped some of the Matthew 18 discussion.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to make sure is known is, you know, this is, we are entering into what will be the third calendar year.
Yeah, it'd be,
in 2019.
Third, I guess we'd call it the third season of Tag Your It. Yeah.
And so awesome. Those 2 years where we've done this, we have done this on our own dime. We've not asked except for a few funds for Apollicon. Mm-hmm. There are some big things that are about to take place, and we don't want to unveil all of them, but God has opened up some neat opportunities for us in this next year. And so we're excited. We can't wait for our program. We get to announce that. But thank you for encouraging, supporting, watching the podcast, all of those things. Really good things. So we do want to let you know we do have the phone open. We also would be glad to answer any questions that you might have about apologetics. Maybe we don't have the answer, but we do have some folks who have the opportunity with that. So do we want to jump back to Matthew 18?
If you want to, I would say we're an hour and 3 minutes in.
You know what? We're about an hour and 3 minutes. We'll keep the phone open for just a little bit longer here. So here's the plan. On December 17th, we are going to do a show where we are lining out some guests, and we're excited with with at least one of them. Actually, both of them are students at Southern Seminary. We're working out a way to have them on and have Adam discuss what I believe is one of the most important topics in Missouri Baptist Convention life right now. And Adam's going to be talking about that. We've been doing some research on it. But what we can ask you to do is pray for this podcast on the 17th of December. We weren't planning on it, but we are going to have it, and then it will hopefully uncover and disclose some things that need to be uncovered and disclosed. Mm-hmm. With that said, we've talked to Lauren Daigle. We have not dove into Matthew 18, but yeah. And I feel really good with what we've done. I think that we're at a good point to let things go for the end of the show, if you're okay
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, if you guys at least I got a number 14, 13 on my live count. If you guys got nothing else, it's like I want to give more opportunities to where we do, just to be able to interact with you guys, on the phone or in the comments or whatever. So I just want to
likewise,
throw that out
there. What we will probably be doing next year is a few mailbag shows where we will post, hey, could you give us some questions on apologetics that you have, and we'll collect those. Yeah. That is something that we'll be trying to.
Because there's a few really good shows other than what Dave was talking about that are going to come next year too, that I'm excited for, that we've at least basically talked about and arranged. Basically,
our first show of the year will be Dr. Sam Walton on the 7th of January.
Again, I posted a. That gives you guys more time. If you don't know what the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith is. If you read it and you need some more help, you got a lot more time now to read Sam E. Waldron's book, A Modern Exposition of the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. It was a really cool work. It's easy to read if you're familiar with Grudem's Bible Doctrine, set up in the same way. So it's really, really easy read, really easy understood. There's a study guide in the back, and from what I understand, Dave said it's probably a textbook
at Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. I actually pulled up the Missouri Baptist Apologetics Network page because I wanted to note that there is a fellow Springfieldian who has been added to the network, and we are excited because he has come to one of, he came to the conference, and so we are really excited. Tristan Krott. Tinger.
Yeah, I forgot his last name.
We are going to try to have Tristan on sometime in the near future. He is an elder at Crossbridge Baptist Church in Marshfield, and we are really, really looking forward to having Tristan on sometime next year as well. And if there is another Missouri Baptist apologist added, we'll also be trying to get them on, because at this particular point, we haven't hosted as many Missouri Baptist Apologetics Network folks as we've wanted, but we are excited to see the network continue to grow and its influence and impact. So Tristan will probably be on because he is one of our newest members. So with that said, I think that's about everything we got for the day.
Guys.
That was fun.
Well, awesome. Well, guys, thank you again for I'm just going to say it now. Thanks for the whole year.
Yeah.
Thanks for Apollicon. Thanks for just the things that you guys got involved in. Thanks for the comments. I mean, just the past few shows that we've had, just being involved and watching and asking questions and discussing. It's really awesome to now see that and be able to interact with you guys. So again, we'll keep on doing this as an idea of, write stuff in the comments. We'll deal with it. We'll have call-in shows. We've got some really cool stuff. I just can't say thank you enough, especially after the discussion that we had last week that we will unveil soon enough. But it's a blessing and an honor to have this bit of ministry, to be able to use this as something to serve in my life. And I know it's built me up. Just to let you know, not this year's been tough, and the year before that was tough. And this is what has kept me going. So
it's
thank
been
you.
A massive encouragement
thank
to
you.
Me too.
It might be a little Truman showy, but thank you.
I want to say likewise real quick. I'm really thankful that I am able to pastor to church that allows me to do a podcast. And I know that I do this on my free time, but knowing that I have a church that encourages me and many people from my church who actually will tune in is an encouraging thing as well. We could go through the list of all the guests we had this year and thank them all individually, but I want to thank my church. Yeah. Really grateful for First Baptist Buffalo, the way that they supported me through this. And looking forward to continuing to grow in ministry. And hopefully this big announcement will be good. So better not drag it out any longer.
So,
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, you guys, this is the Tag Grit Podcast. I'm Ray.
And I'm Dave.
And Soli.
Deo.
Glory.